Truth, as always, I have some announcements to begin us before we get started. First of all, the Cook's Cares cooking class will meet today, June 30th, to learn how to whip up a delicious dish. I'm doing a member's request. We're doing stuffed peppers. These are good. You should come and find out how. That's at 3 o'clock today. Then also we'll have an adult Bible study that night at 6 o'clock, and we'll get to taste some of those stuffed peppers. So I invite you to come and join us for both of those. This morning is the last time we're collecting monetary donations for the Children's Hope Alliance during our worship time. Please put your donations in the love box that is located in the narthex. Thank you. Be sure to read about our summer cereal box collection going on through August 18th, and also our upcoming vacation Bible school on July 27th in your bulletin this morning, and VBS registration forms are available in the narthex. The beautiful flowers today are in loving memory of Jack Parker, and obviously a beautiful bouquet for a beautiful man and saint who we continue to miss. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time? Yes, ma'am.
Wow. And quarters. So your quarters are important. And we thank those who sometimes drop them off at the office and wherever. But we thank you so much. And people are so thankful for what you all are doing.
Right. Well, we're going to talk about boldness in the sermon today. And that's a bold ministry where we go and really meet people where they need it and do some good things. So thank you for that update on that ministry. Any others that need to be brought before the congregation? If not, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Come, let us sing for joy to the world. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods.
In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountains belong to him.
The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
Let us continue in prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather in your presence with hearts full of gratitude and awe. You are the source and strength and the foundation of our faith. As we come together to worship, we ask that you open our hearts and minds to your word. Fill this space with your Holy Spirit and let your love flow through us, renewing and restoring us. Lord, we thank you for the gift of boldness and the courage to proclaim your faith. Empower us as you did the early apostles to stand firm in our faith and to be witnesses of your grace and power. Let our worship today be a testimony of your goodness and mercy. We lift our voices in praise, knowing that you hear us and are with us now in the power of your Holy Spirit. Transform our lives with your light and guide us to walk in all your ways. May our hearts be filled with your peace and our spirits uplifted by your presence this morning. Bless this entire service in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. I invite now those of you who are able to rise and join me in the singing of our first hymn.
Protected as made us by guiding us on to thee.
words, that if we say that we are out without sin, we deceive ourselves and that the truth is not in us. What John is telling us in that moment is that as we believe ourselves to be sinless, we lie to ourselves on an unimaginable level. But there is good news, John wants us to know, that if we confess our sins, that God, who is faithful, will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness. This is the truth that we take believing our baptisms to have been efficacious and to continue to take care of our sin. We confess corporately first and then silently in the space of our hearts, trusting that God will greet us not with condemnation, but with instead his amazing grace. So join me as we pray our prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletin. Join me. Heavenly Father, we confess our fears and doubts. Forgive us for the times we have lacked courage to proclaim your truth. Restore us by your grace and fill us with boldness. Lift us up to walk in your ways, empowered by your Spirit. Transform our hearts to reflect your love and light. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, it's this great news that I declare, but by the waters of our baptism, we're assured of an eternal truth, that God has indeed washed us of our sins, past, present, and future, and restored us into full fellowship with God the Father Almighty. Friends, believe the good news in the gospel, of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Now, using the power of song, let us affirm what it is we believe. We believe in God the Father. Seated, and at this point, we'd like to ask the kids and youth to come forward for a time that's just for them. Hey. How are you guys? Waiting for Silas. All right, so how is everybody's summer going? I really want to know, how is it going? How is this going?
Good.
Good?
Fine.
Fine. Decent? Summer's only decent?
I've been studying all summer.
You've been what?
Snotty.
I'm sorry. You've felt a little under the weather. I've got a little summertime cold going on too, so I feel you. I'm sorry. It's going to get better though. Yes, and summer's going to get better. Okay. How about you guys? Yeah. Things seem to be going pretty well. All right. Well, that's good. How about you?
Pretty good.
Yeah? Everybody's, what are you doing summer activity-wise? Anything exciting?
Hanging out with friends.
Hanging out with friends? I know you you're doing some karate, too, right?
Yeah.
And it's not karate. What is it?
It is karate.
It is karate. Now, my nephews were into taekwondo, and they always corrected me. So I'm glad I got it right for once. I'm excited because what's coming up on Thursday, guys? What's coming up on Thursday? The 4th of July, right? Independence Day.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yay. That's a great thing. We celebrate the freedom. And I don't want to go into too much, but freedom, our founding fathers looked at and determined that freedom was an attribute given to us by whom?
God, the Father.
That's exactly right. And so what did our founding fathers do? They wrote into law through the Constitution and through various laws a means by which we get to enjoy freedom. Where does that come from, though? It comes from a particular section of a particular book of the Bible. It comes to us from Galatians 5, the first verse. For it's for freedom that Christ sets you free, right? That's it's a very powerful phrase. God has freed you from doing the wrong and opened up for you the ability to do the right in a whole new way by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm excited to talk to you about. Because I remember being a kid one time, and, you know, I wasn't much of a Christian at the time. And my parents would come to me and they'd say, "Have you done your homework?" Right? And I'd think, "Nah, I haven't really done my homework." But then what would I do?
Why?
Ah, right? I would. I would tell them that I did my homework. And they'd believe me. Why? Because, you know, they had no reason not to. But then one day I was discovered, and it was a bad reckoning. What I know now is that I didn't have to lie. For freedom, Christ has set us free. What that means is that when you're confronted with a situation, you don't have to choose the wrong. You're free to choose the right. And that's freedom. That's a freedom that not everybody has that we ought to be mindful of. When sin comes knocking, you don't have to yield to it because God is with us in the power of the Holy Spirit. You can turn it down and do better things. Does that make sense today, guys? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, thank you for this day and for this time together. Bless us with the knowledge that you freed us from sin and liberated us from death. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, thanks, guys.
Very, very true. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every morning I will worship, every evening I'll adore, because every day is sweeter, sweeter than the day before.
Bam. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every morning I will worship, every evening I'll adore.
Come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word, and we do so as always beginning with a prayer for illumination. Let us go to the Lord now in prayer. Almighty and holy God, we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you speak to us new and afresh with this reading and proclamation of your word. Father God, locate that within us which rebels, that does not seek to rejoice in your love, and allow it to be eradicated by this reading and proclamation of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Morning.
Morning.
This morning, our Old Testament reading is Psalm 100. It is, you can see it on the screen, or it's on 593 in the Pew Bible. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I continue this week our study in Acts. And believe it or not, this reading that we're going to do from Acts is a continuation of the very same section that we read last week with the healing of the man at the beautiful gate. Things happen after that healing, as they often do. One of the things that we're studying in our class on Acts is just this repetition of a pattern of amazing act followed by a sermon and then a further declaration of how the community was growing and rejoicing. So it often comes down in that. The apostles or the disciples perform an amazing act. One of them delivers a sermon, and then the community continues to grow. And we're told that. So there is this ongoing pattern. So here's what's happened. After our last week's reading, we heard about Peter and John coming to worship the Lord at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This was a standard time. As I talked about last week, Jewish temple worship saw believers, faithful believers, attend three times a day to offer their prayers. So three times a day, this man would have been lifted up and taken to the space where he would beg. But it's on this day that Peter and John, filled with their experiences in the beloved community, which we read prior to the reading last week, where all the believers were rejoicing and had everything in common, that those believers and that community was able to do an amazing thing. And then we get a sermon afterwards, and then you get the fallout. The fallout is what we're going to be reading about today. Because, you see, whenever the gospel gets proclaimed, there is a twofold reaction, unfortunately. And this really comes clear as you read the Gospel of John. Some people, those that God has elected somehow, beyond us, hear the good news and come alive. But another group of people hear the good news and create stumbling blocks and problems. And react against the gospel in a way that's designed to kind of waylay it or prevent it from being set out. And we see this at the very beginning of the church. In fact, I want you to think about this passage as showing us the first persecution of the church. Now, what do I mean by that? I haven't read the passage. But prior to what I'm going to read, Peter and John have been arrested. They've been arrested because they've annoyed the ruling class. They've been arrested and spent the night in jail, brought before the Sanhedrin, which would have been the governing body of the Jewish people at the time. Now, we know that they weren't the ultimate authority. The Sanhedrin wasn't. Why? Because the Romans were still in town. But as far as all secular authority up until the Romans' point, the Sanhedrin had it. And the Sanhedrin was greatly annoyed, that's the language of Acts, by this healing of this man. Why would anybody be so upset with the healing of a raised man? Well, they weren't so much upset with the healing, they were upset with what was happening. People were talking, lives were being changed, people were starting to repent and believe in the good news of the gospel, and thousands were joining the church. Thousands. Can you imagine that? The leading authorities, they didn't like it. They thought that they saw that their power was going to be minimized. It helps here to know a little bit something about the difference between the Sadducees, who would have made up largely the Sanhedrin, and the Pharisees. Now, we note in the Gospels that Jesus Christ talks negatively about both sets of groups. Both are varying traditions of the Jewish faith at the time. And we know that Paul and the other authors, Jesus himself, seems to strike a very negative tone. Well, the Pharisees were religious zealots. So at some level, they at least were honest in their dislike of Jesus. They thought that Jesus was an abomination and rejected him. But the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, would have rejected Jesus for a completely different way. And it was because their power would have been upset. Their authority would have been compromised. If somebody else is going around calling themselves king, right? That means that the secular authorities are not the king. And that means that their power is diminished and they don't like it. So they haul Peter and John in front of them. And Peter and John declare that this miracle was done in the name of Jesus Christ. And they go on and they elucidate more about it. Now we come to Acts 4, 13 through 22. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, common men. They were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in his name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must be judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, last week I got the chance to tell you a little bit about immediate relief. If you'll remember, I hearkened back to being in a hospital room where a woman that was contorted with pain was finally given an analgesic that took that pain away, and just the seeing and the feeling of a relief was immediate. I mentioned that I'd gotten to see that a couple of times. I've also seen in other healing-related areas. But what I want to tell you is I've actually seen that look, that relief, that wonderful joy come over people in different places. And where it's happened predominantly is in Kairos. And in Kairos, I met about three walks ago, I met a young man named Patrick. Now, Patrick, you could see, had all the elements of a classroom disruptor. He didn't pay attention much. He made jokes when he did. And he could never quite seem to pay attention in the early days to what was going on. And he was a real problem, to be honest. But the weekend has its effect. And he began to settle a little bit. And you could notice that by day two, he was paying a little bit more attention. He wasn't making as many jokes. By day three, he was fully invested and engaged. Then we come to a particular time we write letters to the men, and they read them. And it's in that moment something magic happens, doesn't it? All of a sudden, these guys, many of whom have not got any home support system at all, they're not getting letters from anybody. They exist on their own, by themselves, behind four walls for long periods of time. And you can imagine how lonely and awful that is. And all of a sudden, here is a stack full of letters of men that you've met and have enjoyed their company, that you've seen them. They're not interested in telling you what a bad guy you are. They really just want to talk about sports and Jesus Christ. If we can do those two things, we've probably done something good, is the way we think about it. The fact of the matter is that Patrick, in that moment, was just undone. There's no other word for it. Now, I don't like to use that one a whole lot, but that's it. He was undone. The waterworks just started coming, right? He was so overcome with joy. And I got to be in the room because, as being a clergy, they want somebody there to pray with the guys if they have that kind of moment, and they often do. And it was in that moment that you could see that he had really taken in the truth of the gospel, that he was, in that moment, new creation. It was the most amazing thing. And the neat thing is that because we go back, I've gotten to run into Patrick a couple of times, and he's moved on. I don't know that he was in the worst dorm, but he was in one of the Magnolias, which I think are not so great. But he's moved down into the SPICE program, which is a one for model prisoners that provides them with more freedoms and the ability to even get out earlier. So this is a young man whose life has been profoundly changed, and you saw that immediate relief, that instantaneous connection. It was something amazing. And so now we think back on that moment in time so many years ago, thousands, but still talked about to this very day as it's recorded in the book of Acts of the Apostles, when that man who was beleaguered, who hadn't been able to walk for decades, whose life entirety had become and degenerated down to the point where he was having to be led out to beg for his sustenance every single day, three times a day. You can imagine the wear on your soul that would take, the deleteriousness that would have on your heart. But in an instant, because of the faith that Peter and John had in the Lord, because of the faith that was birthed and nurtured by a community that was living very faithfully with God and one another, they were able to perform this miracle, and everybody began to speak about it. When you see an act that miraculous, it tends to have that effect. And soon, everyone was talking, and the Bible tells us that thousands of people were joining this nascent movement, this way that they would learn would be the Christian life. The crowds were coming alive. But as I said, there's always an equal but opposite reaction wherever the gospel is proclaimed with boldness, and it is to see the silencing of the gospel. That we who are Christian very much want to declare from the rooftops of our lives the truth of Jesus Christ, what he means for us, what he means for the world. And yet what we find in response to that message isn't always roses. It is oftentimes persecution. If you think about it, if we turn back our pages in the annals of time, this is the first example of the church being persecuted, and it's continued to take its toll. We stand at a time, a pivotal time in America, if we aren't aware of it. The numbers of Christians have radically begun to decline. I mentioned to the Sunday school class this morning, in 2010, the data was 74% of people, when asked whether what faith they were, said Christian. That didn't mean they were active. That didn't mean they were going to church. They just ask you, what faith are you, right? And you say, Christian. 74% of people in 2010 in America said that. In 2020, that number had dipped to 62%, which still sounds like we're in the majority slightly, and that's pretty good. But then you dig into the numbers a little further, and you find out that of that 61%, 62 rather, only 30% are actively pursuing their faith. So there's a whole bunch of people out there saying they're Christians but aren't really practicing a Christian walk. The number of people practicing the Christian faith is dreadfully low. And there's a reason for that, isn't there? There's a very clear reason for this. Paul tells us in Romans how people are attracted to the gospel. It's from what's heard. The people of God are not talking about Jesus at the level that they used to, and there's no other way to say it. Why is that? Their reasons are myriad. But the fact of the matter is that we've either grown timid or we lack the knowledge that's necessary to do what these earliest disciples and apostles do, which is proclaim the gospel with boldness. With boldness. That's a term that you're going to run into in Acts dozens of times because it speaks to the nature and character of the men and women who were following Jesus. They were bold in their declarations about God. They were emboldened because they were inside a community that was loving and sharing and showing the world what a community of God looks like. They were indeed drawing from the power of God's Holy Spirit into the world in a way that was efficacious and saw thousands join every day. Remember, what got me started on this sermon series was an admonition by a past professor to never preach Acts. Never preach Acts, they said, because the church seems too powerful then compared to what we are now. And I say to that, hogwash. We are as powerful and as meaningful and as resonant today as we ever were. We just need to embrace and accept our position which is to be the men and women of God who go out into the world, who say unreservedly and without any pretense or reservation that God loves you, that Jesus Christ died for you, and that all it takes to have an eternity in heaven is just to believe in Jesus Christ. And that power, that ability to believe in Jesus Christ, it doesn't even come from within you to begin with. It comes from God. And that when you have it, you can know at the same time that God is working in your hearts and in your life. So I ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he laid down his life for you and for your salvation? Do you believe that he is the one who above all has the power and the ability to change not only you but the world? Well, that faith is a gift, and we should all celebrate it today because it is the entryway, the entry point into eternal life. It is the means by which we know that when our days here have ended, we go on not to the grave, but on to eternal glory with the Lord our God. Friends, as we come into this reading from Acts, we're aware that there is a greater power, that there is God Almighty who is giving the grace to be forgiven, who is sharing the Holy Spirit so that his name and word might be proclaimed with great boldness. When I think of great boldness, historically, I think of a particular man that I read about recently. His name was Hans von Tetzel. This is an odd name, but he was an Austro-Hungarian prince under the reign of Frederick the Great. So he was like a vassal lord to a great king. And he had been given the position of preparing communion for all of Frederick the Great's advisors and generals. And he'd taken that job very seriously and begun to prepare for this august occasion. When word came from the emperor himself that he was to be summoned immediately along with all the other aides and generals to the king's presence immediately. But Hans von Tetzel didn't go. Hans von Tetzel stayed behind, continuing to prepare for communion. This did not make the emperor very happy. So as all were assembled, Frederick the Great singled out Hans von Tetzel for not having been at the stated appearance. And you could sense that he was angry. And he asked Hans von Tetzel why he wasn't there. And Hans von Tetzel stood up to Frederick the Great and said, "As much as I love you as king, there is a king that is greater than you, and I owe him fealty and loyalty before I owe it to you, and I was doing my God-given duty." The room, you can only imagine, probably got as silent as this one. You could have probably heard a pin drop. But thankfully, the man's faith spoke to the king, and Hans von Tetzel was not only not admonished, he was praised by the king and elevated to even greater position. Because the king himself recognized that there was a greater king. Friends, as we traverse this world, sometimes we find that we are not as bold in our declaration of our Lord. Sometimes we get it wrong. And there's lots of reasons for this. We've gone through them. There's the fear of rejection, lack of knowledge. Sometimes we don't think we know enough. There's cultural pressure that you might feel put down upon if you say the name of Jesus Christ. There are personal doubts. There's the lack of opportunity, and there's the fear of conflict. There's some very real reasons we don't share the gospel. But what I need you to see, what we all need to see in Acts, is that those same reasons for being quiet, they were all there and operative in the first century as well. And yet the church declared with great boldness through the power of the Holy Spirit, the risen Lord, and thousands joined on a daily basis. This isn't mythology, right? This actually happened, and we know it because we're here today. People started following Jesus in this very consequential time, and they began to turn their lives over, repent, and believe in the good news. That was the basic message that the church had. That's the basic message the church needs right now. How do we do it? Well, the first is prayer, right? We've got to get intimately involved in a prayer life. We've got to be asking God to help illuminate for us the path to share the gospel. Jay, I still want to call him Jay and James, but it's Kay and James, did a magnificent class on the power of prayer. And it was one that was just so sublime. And what we learned in that is there's ways that you pray to God and that help connect you more deeply with God. And you can do that as you seek to share the gospel. Every day in your prayer life, you can beseech God to put somebody into your life to help you share the good news with. Every day you can pray that. And guess what? God not only hears our prayers, but he indeed answers them. So you can pray for not only opportunity, you can pray for knowledge, and then you can follow through on that. Friends, I took the time for our confirmands to put down today, just in writing, the sheer basics of Christian theology. It fits on one sheet of paper, front and back. It's not an incredibly complex religion. So if you have questions or concerns, the place to address them is with me and the elders of this church. So if there's something theologically that's holding you back from sharing the gospel, don't let it be a stumbling block to you. Come and talk to myself or one of the elders, and we'll help, hopefully, show you what we see. So you can equip yourself with knowledge. You can build a genuine and lasting relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know so many and all of you are doing this. But through our prayer life, through our devotional life, through our service life, through our worship life, we can dedicate more and more time to God. Because as we do that, we'll fill more and more with His Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit fills in us, it will outflow into the world around us, sharing and allowing others to know Jesus Christ, which is our whole point and purpose of being the church. So build a genuine relationship. You can also look for opportunities. Opportunities abound. There, wherever there are people, there is somebody that's hurting. And you can direct yourself to known areas and find there people to help heal and love. Make no mistake about it. People really do not care what you know until they know you care. And being a part of a caring ministry is so vital. Again, I come back to that prayer class. You can be praying for people. You can really be learning how to strengthen them in times of spiritual distress, to really be a strong Christian that can be a light for others in the darkness. And when we do that, people, we shine forth the power and the glory of God. Friends, as we think today about our boldness, I pray that we will look inside and see which of these reasons is and what rationale we're using and employing to keep ourselves silent. And then I pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and allow you to see and know the goodness and worship of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer in which we lift up to the world, lift up to the Lord, those names and situations that weigh heavily upon our heart. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you indeed alone are worthy of all of our adoration and praise, for before there was anything, you spoke your words and spun it all into creation, God. You are indeed great. And even when your rebellious creation didn't do what you wanted them to, you remained with us east of Eden, showing us your light and your love in so many new and ways. You sent prophets and even a time in exile to show us. And yet, Father God, we were still stubborn and stiff-necked. But then, in the fullness of time, you shared with us your greatest gift, your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's his faithfulness that led him to the cross that allows us to know that by his stripes we are healed. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus Christ, and thank you especially for this outpouring of your Holy Spirit that summons us to worship and gathers us in this place to hear the good news. Father God, we just ask that you continue to support and surround us with your watch, care, and love, letting us know of your grace and your mercy, as well as your boldness that we can access through the power of your Holy Spirit. Father God, we recognize that many are hurting this week, and we think of two families. We think of the Dombrowski family and the Cox family, as both have sustained major losses. And so we pray for Samantha's family, just as we pray for Elena's family, the Cox family, as she has passed. Father God, we pray also for Eileen Gant recovering from a stroke, and we pray for Sarah Yarborough. We pray for Jill Griffin and Pat Hager. We pray for Johnny Quinn, still mourning the loss of her brother. We pray for Nancy Smith as well, grieving as well. We pray all for all of the people on our intercessory list, knowing and trusting that you not only hear our prayers, but that you would do indeed answer them. Father God, all things are yours, and to you alone belong all honor and power and glory. And it's in your holy and everlasting name that we make these prayers, and we conclude them with the prayer that Jesus taught us praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please feel free to use the time. Please feel free to use this time to consider the sermon or to donate to Cook's Church and their mission to serve Christ in the area. The QR code located in the pew racks and on the bulletin to donate electronically. Online giving, see Ginger Thompson for details on that, or place your gift on the way out in the offering plates that are available in the offering table. In front of the sanctuary are offering plates that are available in the narthex. Thank you for supporting Cook's Church. Friends, it's my prayer that all of us, with boldness this week, share the good news of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that we should think necessarily about going and banging on our next door neighbor's door, although if that's what our heart leads us to do, I hope you'll do it and trust that it's coming from Jesus. But there are ways that we can intersect with people's lives and let them know that not only is there somebody that out there that cares about them, there's a good God that loves them even more than they can imagine. And as we do more and more of that, we'll see our numbers swell with more and more. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. In Christ's name, amen.